appreciate the scripture reading that was done. Appreciate that and the prayers on my behalf for this evening. Tonight I want to talk to you for the few minutes that we have together about a term that most of us know called subtlety. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, and a fine job that Ethan did for us, I just want to read that again for the context itself. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15 again tells us, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Subtlety, the term that we know it, is a different form, and you have to forgive me for my English classes. My English teacher would probably get me for this one, but subtle is the main derivative of that word, which means hard to notice or see, clever or indirect, not showing real purpose. Subtlety is mentioned throughout the scriptures a lot. Jesus actually gave to us a warning about the false prophets right there in Matthew 7 and verse 15 that we just read about. But there's plenty of passages in the scriptures that talk about sin that comes from subtlety. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 3. The story that we're all too familiar with. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yes, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die." He was subtle in his approach that created essentially the first sin that were spoken about in the scriptures, with the serpent being subtle towards Eve to get her to sin. It's common throughout the theme of the scriptures. There's sin, there's a consequence for it, and sometimes it's subtle and sometimes it's great. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll see that same use there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 3. "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." In verse 4, "For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." There's a great example, again going back to the beginning of time there, that we know of, for that what God has told us about what happened to Eve. But turn back with me again to Genesis. There's another example of how subtlety has led to sin. Turn to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, starting at verse 34. This is another story that we all know too well. Chapter 27, beginning at verse 34. "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he has said, Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Another use of how subtlety can work against us if we're not careful. We know that a lot of that came from his mother, that helped kind of approach that aspect with Jacob, and with the approach of subtlety to forego his brother's, not his birthright, but his blessing. So using subtlety to capture that, it's lying, right? The sin was lying. We'll read about not only Jacob and Esau, the serpent being subtle towards Eve, but something that's in Acts chapter 13. Turn with me there. Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle into Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Another example of how subtlety can help lead to sin. But as children of God, there's one thing that we want to think about, is how to guard ourselves against subtlety. Should we be able to spot it? How to help prepare against that? First thing that we've done, turn over just a few chapters over the 20th chapter of Acts, starting at verse 27. Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the holy flock, which over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. One thing that we have already done is to help establish elders. As a congregation, we have done that. That is a fantastic job that we have continued to set in place the things that God has ordained. So we read about that. They help guard us from that subtlety, from those wolves that could potentially come in and lead us into error. But we also have to continue to guard ourselves as individuals. If we spot error, how do we help guard ourselves from that? Turn over to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, starting at verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said, The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, and this is our point, the witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to the Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto all pure things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. They must be rebuked when we find that there is subtlety that happens. In chapter 2, starting at verse 1, What does it tell us about this? It says, But speak you the things which become sound doctrine. We must speak and we must listen for speech. We must listen for sound doctrine when we hear. To always be able to help point, we have the scriptures, we're opening, we're reading what is being taught to us. Therefore, we can see from this whether the sound doctrine, not only the word, but in actions as well. Drop down to verse 6. We're going to see young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things. Show yourselves a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. We're guarding ourselves from subtlety. But a couple chapters back into another book, actually, in Ephesians. Turn with me there to chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. Another way we can guard ourselves from subtlety. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning, craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every good joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Edification helps guards us from subtlety unto perfection. So we edify ourselves unto perfection, we edify each other unto perfection. But there was one that was truly perfect, which was Christ. Now, if we're trying to guard ourselves from subtlety, we're trying to protect ourselves, we must be Christ-like in that aspect, in the way that we live our lives. Psalm 19 in verse 7 states something about the law. Psalm 19 verse 7 tells us that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And we start, how do we become like Christ? We start with the law. What is the law of Christ? There's a great example of how the law of Christ affects us, starting in Luke chapter 8. Again, a few passages that we may all know. Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 9. This is the parable of the sower that Jesus has spoken about before, but he's revealing the parable. He's explaining the parable of the sower, starting Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, the seeing they might not see, hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil, takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. But that on the ground, good ground, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he comes, lights a candle, covers it with a vessel, or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." In conclusion, the people of the world, the riches, possessions, sin, subtlety, these are all things that can become subtle to us that can creep up on us if we don't watch it. We don't keep an eye out for it. If we don't guard ourselves the way that we should, if we aren't well equipped enough, we can read that it even makes it into the church too. But we find that we can help protect ourselves from it. We have those that are helping protect us. As members, we also have to do our jobs. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us, "We must study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Putting this lesson together, there's so much opportunity for study as members that we have. We may not be able to make every single aspect that we possibly can, because sometimes life does get us down. There are physical ailments that happen. Sunday mornings, we have Sunday morning Bible studies. Wednesday night Bible studies. Ladies Bible class. Elder studies. Gospel meetings, 3 this year, come about. Let's not let sin be subtle and creep in on us. We must keep ourselves guarded, prepared. If you're a victim of subtlety like that, like Eve, like Esau, these can also come at a price too. It could even be our soul, like those of Bar-Jesus and Elymas. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you." If you have not become a Christian, now is the time to do so. You've heard the word. If you believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you're a Christian, and the word of God is the seed that fell on the rock, and you're falling into temptations, you've fallen away, and you want to make things right, then now is your opportunity to do that as well. Please come forward as we stand and as we sing.